Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The bull was as white as a white lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him, and he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating. Purport. The next symptom of the age of Kali is that the principles of religion, which are all spotlessly white, like the white lotus flower, will be attacked by the uncultured Shudra population of the age. They may be descendants of Brahmana or Kshatriya forefathers, but in the age of Kali, for want of sufficient education and culture of Vedic wisdom, such a Shudra-like population will defy the principles of religion, and persons who are religiously endowed will be terrified by such men. They will declare themselves adherents of no religious principles, and many isms and cults will spring up in Kali Yuga only to kill the spotless bull of religion. The state will be declared to be secular or without any particular principles of religion, and as a result there will be total indifference to the principles of religion. The citizens will be free to act as they like, without respect for sadhu, shastra, and guru. The bull standing on one leg indicates that the principles of religion are gradually diminishing. Even the fragmental existence of religious principles will be embarrassed by so many obstacles, as if in the trembling condition of falling down at any time. The bull referred to here is the personality of religion, dharma, personified. He is standing on one leg. So this indicates that of the four legs of religion, the four legs of dharma, only one is left in Kali Yuga. The four legs are mercy, truthfulness, cleanliness and austerity, and only truthfulness is left in Kali Yuga. Now we may say, well, what truthfulness? Where's the truthfulness? But at least, is my analysis, at least people have some feeling that there should be truthfulness. That much is there. Whereas austerity is practically a defunct word. Did you ever hear the word austerity during your growing up life? Has anyone even heard of it? There's no idea. Difficulty is there, but austerity means to willingly, voluntarily undertake some difficulty for the sake of particularly for a religious purpose. It's practically unknown in the modern age. Mercy, well, there's some idea that one should not mistreat other humans badly, but no one thinks there's anything wrong, and they'll congratulate. A new mechanized slaughterhouse has been opened. And the people, they don't complain. They think, well, good, it's good for the economy. Good for the humans. And no mercy to the earth, just cutting and burning and mining and exploiting. So mercy, maybe there's a little idea, but a very perverted idea of mercy, only for the humans. No mercy on the animals or any other creatures. Cleanliness, there's some, but the idea of cleanliness is perverse also. That people, who knows, even to, that one should regularly bathe. I don't know in this country, but in England, it used to be the weekly bath for the whole family. Every week or 2 weeks, First, the father would, in a big tub would take a bath, and then in the same water, the mother, and then the children, one by one, in the same water. That's called taking a bath. That's cleanliness. And as far as mental cleanliness is concerned, it's just not a concept that one should not try. One should keep the mind clean. People have no idea of that. The whole society is based on cultivating dirty desires, very bad desires. But still there's some idea, isn't it, of truthfulness. Now in England and India, there's a big furor about corruption in the government. They have the idea that, well, they should be honest. Although, what are they thinking? They're so naive. They actually think that politicians are honest. How can people think that? I mean, are they so stupid? It must be really stupid to think that politicians are honest. Or they actually care about the people, or they care about anything else except themselves. But still people have the idea that you should be honest. I think in America it's gone altogether. I mean, it's open that the big people in society ripped off the whole nation for huge amounts of money, and no one really seems to care that much except how it affects me. I mean, the fact that these people should be imprisoned at least, if not executed, for what are practically treasonable acts, no one thinks. If you can get away with it, okay, they got away with it. So, the bull of dharma is in a very bad state. The one leg of truthfulness is standing, and that also is wobbling. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, we are supposed to be dedicated to turning off our cell phones. We need signs. Who's going to do that? Signs outside, cell phones off. Otherwise, no mercy. So, we're supposed to be dedicated to searching for and serving the ultimate truth, living by the truth. But we find, even when I say our own society, I mean the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But we find in this prevailing atmosphere of non-truth, which is everywhere, that it's easier in so many ways to pretend that one is serving the truth or introduce many elements of non-truth rather than adhere to the truth in all circumstances. Because in an atmosphere of non-truth, to live only for the truth, which means Krishna, then it disturbs others who are sworn to untruth. Srila Prabhupada translates that in the 16th chapter. One of the symptoms of the demons is that they're sworn to untruth. So it's easier to make a show of religion than to be genuinely dedicated to seeking out and serving the ultimate truth. Yeah, as I was saying, because the whole atmosphere is vitiated by untruth. That is expected in Kali Yuga, where one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, mentioned in the Bhagavatam, is satyatve dharshyam evahi. That arrogance audacity, that's the translation, audacity, is equated with truthfulness. And we see that if anyone just is very assertive, people tend to think they're right. Because someone says in a very assertive manner, or whatever it may be, people think, must be right, because he seems to be very convinced. People have lost their faculty for intelligent consideration. Lazy, that's one of the symptoms of Kali Yoga. Alasya, laziness. So they don't want to take the trouble of trying to think or understand. Very primitive culture. It's amazing how they actually promote, and it's another symptom of untruthfulness, that they promote modern society as being the most advanced ever, where people are actually living on a very animalistic level of whatever immediately satisfies them. They take that to be the measure of truthfulness, morality, that which should be done. And you can suggest, like, for instance, a very simple example, smoking a cigarette. So that's killing you, but immediately, very nice. People think very nice. So foolish. So that mentality is pervasive throughout all of society. People think that, well, if I can feel good just for a moment, then what happens the next moment? You don't have to think about it. The whole society, destroying the whole ecosphere just for some, can cause literally thousands of years of disturbance in the whole ecosystem just for some immediate gain. So foolish, so exploitive, and so stupid. This is a modern society. And what is promoted as factual is just because it's promoted, people take it to be correct. People take it to be true. The whole society, again, based on exploitation, that let us develop, build more buildings, have more opportunities for sense gratification, and everyone just goes along with it. Just like at this time of year, there's a whole lemming line from Germany, a line of lemmings. Never heard of lemmings? Lemmings? Lemuria? Famous? Yeah, a little. From Germany and other such advanced countries down to Croatia. And the fact that, you know, you're stuck in traffic jams for about 2 days going each way, and that it's, 1 year it's all rainy and cold, another year it's so hot and you can't even go in the ocean, and anyway it's miserable. And no one thinks, they just can't, okay, it's time of the year, get in the car, drive down and go back again. And no one thinks that this is actually miserable. But they just go. Now it's the time of year to do it. Ho, 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 ho. Drive our car down and suffer. So everything about modern life is just miserable. I mean, I can't think of anything that's not miserable. But people just think, oh, well, that's the way it should be. Everything's a myth. It's just promoted as being correct, and right and proper, but it's not. Again, the most prominent thing in modern life, spend money, enjoy sex, all these things, but where's the pleasure? Why? What's the benefit? It's just a very low animalistic consciousness. And people in many cases, they don't even mind, they're shameless in promoting untruth, or they're so attached to untruth that they can't even begin to think of truth. Just like the neo-Darwinian evolutionary theory. Even though there's so much evidence to, at least one should question it. If one is open, if one is actually scientifically minded, at least one should question it. But they cannot brook even any questioning of it. Anyone who tries to question it is just thrown out of the academic system. Crushed, which goes to prove that the survival of the fittest. We're in charge here. We're in power, and if you disagree with us, you don't survive. And anyone who doesn't agree with that, they're just branded as mavericks, or they're not real scientists. And people believe. People tend to believe what they want to believe, to face up to the fact that actually Darwin and evolution, the scientific evidence doesn't fit it. So the scientific evidence doesn't fit the theory. Okay, we'll just take the evidence that does and throw out the rest. It should be around the other way. The theory should fit the evidence, but they change it around, or in the name of some primitive tribal cult that somehow or other has had tremendous influence throughout the world. They quote the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and they quote, this is the truth, you see. But what does it mean? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Could you explain that? What does that mean? What does it mean when they quote Jesus saying, I am the truth? What do you mean by truth? What do you mean? Well, we find that anyone who starts to ask questions about this, again, crushed. Don't ask this kind of, wrong kind of question. So, the truth is not welcome. So, yes. In politics, that lying is the norm. Yes, I'm sending out a quote now from Prabhupada. He was quoting some politician that in politics, consistency is the sign of an ass. In other words, you always change your position. You say one thing one day and another thing another day. Just like some American politician, I can't remember who, he commented, I believe it was about Nixon, that he was called him Chicken Shit, which is not a very pleasant thing to call someone. In politics, you call your opponent whatever you like. Later, he praised him. Because he did something which that one politician praised another. So he asked, well, before you called him chicken poop, he said, well, don't you know that in politics, chicken poop can change to chicken soup? It's just politics, politics, politics is the opposite of truth. If we find in our ISKCON society or any society there's a predominant of politics, then we know that there's no genuine search for or service to the truth. That doesn't mean if there's no politics that there is genuine service to the truth. It can be also that everyone's just made a, just like in Kami society, a kind of pleasant compromise that everyone maintains a status quo of pretending to do their thing and life goes on without any serious endeavor to understand and promote the truth. So, and yeah, we see that everywhere untruth is promoted as truth. In the schools, school means where you go to learn what people want you to think so that they can exploit you. And that you can live your whole life thinking that I'm living such a good life, things are going on great, when actually you're just being exploited. That's a school. TV means more indoctrination. The whole society. Everyone's just promoting untruth. Those who have the power, they can say whatever they like because might is right. This satyatve dharshtya mevahi. Dharshtya, I looked that up in the Sanskrit dictionary. So audacity is one meaning. Another is violence. So if you're in control, you can promote whatever you like as the truth. Just like during the communist regime in Russia, the newspaper, I believe there's only one, was called Pravda, which I think you all have in your Slavonic languages, it means the same thing, similar. Truth. So truth means whatever you want it to be. If you're in control, you just say whatever you like. And people have to believe it, because as another great proponent of the truth, according to Kali Yuga, Mao Zedong, as he said, that power comes out, power comes out the barrel of a gun. So if you don't believe what's in the newspaper, then yeah, that's it. That's the end for you. So truth is tailored to the desires of, or they think that they can just manipulate, and truth will be whatever people want them to believe. In the Western world, if they speak about North Korea, they speak about how it's a dictator state, and the dictator, he just programs the people to think like that. Well, they're doing the same thing, just in a more subtle way in the Western world. This whole thing about education, I mean, they say that you have freedom, but once you've been through the education system, practically you don't have freedom. Because they've already molded your way of thinking so that you're not open to the truth. I mean, naturally, young children, they're open to questions. They themselves ask, you know, where does everything come from? Then they'll ask very good questions, but the few years at school and they won't even think of such things, because the school has the purpose, the main purpose of the school, which is, it's so well fashioned that even the people in the education system, they don't even understand it themselves. But the main purpose of the school is to crush people's, the natural tendency of the human being to search for the highest truth. It's crushed by the education system. It's a very, anyone thinks like that, then there's something seriously wrong with them. And in the totalitarian system, they'll just, this kind of question is considered very dangerous. So in the so-called free world, they say, yes, it's good to search for the truth. You see, find out the truth. What's really going on in the government? Find it out. Expose them. You may do. But still you won't find the truth, because the ultimate truth is not of this world anyway. The actual truth is that this material world is miserable. But that the people cannot understand. That's such a thought is beyond their understanding. Even religion. What they call, so-called religion is another son or daughter of Kali. What goes on in the name of religion? Dharmartha, what is that? Dharmartha yasham evahi. That's the next line after the satyatve darshya. That people in Kali Yuga, they practice religion just so that people will respect them. That's all. They have no actual interest in God or serving Him. And you can see from their so-called religion that the ultimate goal, we're told, is to go to heaven and enjoy yourself there. The fact that we're eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no idea of any such concept. Far, far, I mean, just no idea. And even religion, they'll promote by lies. I mean, that's a standard part of Christian missionary infiltration in many countries, that they undermine the local culture by promoting all kinds of lies about it so that people lose faith in their own culture, and then they come in with their the way, the truth, and the light. This is the only way. So they don't mind telling, promoting so many lies. Just like in India, there's this myth that St. Thomas, one of the first apostles, came to India and preached there. Now the Catholic Church, for years, they said, actually, this isn't true. But now they've changed. All of a sudden, it's true. It wasn't true, now it's true. And the Protestant churches, they don't mind whether it's true or not. They just promote it like anything. They promote, yes, you see, the original culture of India was Christian. That's what they say. Sanskrit, this all came from, St. Thomas introduced this. That's what they say. No such person ever came to India. But anyway, he founded Sanskrit. It's just completely bogus. But because they have money, they're promoting and it's becoming disseminated, and the local politicians find it useful to promote that for their own political purposes. Aryan invasion theory was founded not on the basis of studying any evidence, but on the European need to denigrate Indian culture. And the European political need psychological need to show that they're superior. And even though it's been debunked, then they change it to Aryan migration theory. And that's also debunked. There's no such thing. But anyway, they go on teaching it because it serves their purposes. And the Aryans came and they pushed the original people into the south of India, so the Tamil people are all oppressed by the North Indian people, right? You heard that? And that's what they believe, because that's what they teach them. It's in the lies that they're taught in the education system. So truth is suffering. One leg being battered. The aim of this Krishna Conscious Movement is to present the absolute truth, Krishna. It's very difficult in an atmosphere where everyone is living a lie. Everyone, they don't know who you are. Everyone has adopted a persona. Persona. That's a word which comes from Greek. It means an actor's mask. So an actor has a mask and then you don't know who he is. He has assumed a different personality. So people do that, they don't know who they are, they assume some kind of personality just to hide themselves from the truth of the fact that we are all servants of Krishna. So people like, people are attracted to that. Although they say we like truth, we like goodness, but actually in this material world, people are attracted to untruth because that's the principle on which we come to this world. The principle we come to this world is to deny the truth of our eternal relationship with Krishna. And though we like to speak of truth and goodness, actually we're all rascals. Because we're avoiding Krishna. We don't really want the truth. Although everyone will say, everyone will try to justify themselves. Hitler, he didn't just go out and start killing people left, right and center. First of all, he wrote a book of philosophy, of sorts, in which he stated all the reasons, the good reasons for which Jews and others deserve to be killed. So he gave good reasons, at least he thought it was good reasons. And he was able to convince others that this is the right thing to do, to oppress and kill Jews and others. And Churchill also, who Srila Prabhupada said was the biggest demon of the Second World War, many people have difficulty with that statement, but the fact is Churchill's side won the war, so definitely he's going to get a better propaganda than the side that lost the war. It's like they had after the war in Nuremberg, the trial for war criminals, but all the war criminals were on the losing side. There were no bad guys on the winning side. So Churchill, he said, history will treat me kindly because I plan to write it myself, which is what he did. He wrote the history of the Second World War or something like that. He wrote the book himself. And all his nefarious deeds, such as arranging for the starvation of literally millions of Indian people, and firebombing Dresden to gain no military purpose, but simply to burn to death untold thousands of people. That kind of thing doesn't get featured. So like that, it's whoever has the power, he has the truth. Nowadays, what's called truth is what you're indoctrinated with. There are so many examples. Yeah, the invasion of Iraq was for the purpose of getting a very dangerous situation there because Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. And then later it was found out that the politicians who said this to get the support of their people to invade Iraq, it was found out that they knew that this was not true, that there was no evidence. In fact, they'd searched for it and they hadn't found any evidence of weapons of mass destruction, but they needed an excuse. And later it was found out they were lying, and life goes on. Life goes on. And such people are honored as great leaders of the nation, leaders of society. So, yeah, the Krishna Conscious Movement is supposed to promote the ultimate reality, the ultimate truth, who is Krishna, our relationship with Krishna. It's actually a very easy thing to understand. It's not, this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is actually not difficult to understand. I mean, you can get into all kinds of detailed obstrusities or abstrusities, but subtleties. But I mean, it's basically very easy to understand. We're not the body. Whew, that's a great relief to know that. We're eternal living beings. We don't belong in this world, which is a place of suffering and hypocrisy. We belong in the spiritual world with Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the supreme enjoyment. We are not the center. He is the center. Very easy to understand. But it's very difficult for people because their whole way of thinking is so perverse. So difficult. No concept of what actual reality is. So, Srila Prabhupada here in the purport says that the Shudra-like population will defy the principles of religion. Why that can happen, Srila Prabhupada says here, is for want of sufficient education and culture of Vedic wisdom. So significant. Education and culture of Vedic wisdom. So it means instilling Krishna consciousness. Means to give education and culture of Vedic wisdom. This should be understood by all people who are coming to Krishna consciousness. So now we require complete re-education, and cultural values need changing. The idea that we'll somehow or other stay more or less the way we are and just change a little bit, it's not going to work. Of course, in the beginning, we may say to people, well, you just, whatever you're doing, you can do it, just add Krishna. But actually, as we start to add Krishna more and more and more, then everything else is going to be different. Everything else has to change, because this whole world of untruth and hypocrisy, it's running on a different basis to that of Krishna consciousness. That's why if we try to bring in, for instance, modern psychology, it's not going to fit with Krishna consciousness, because it's all based on a total of misunderstanding of the nature of being and of what the actual needs of the person are. So it's not going to work. It might seem that they're very learned, but actually we see this. The last 100 years or so has been the time when people have looked, instead of looking to spiritual leaders or moral guidance, they look more to sociologists, anthropologists, especially psychologists. So if they really know what's going on and things are, they know, then what's good for humans, then things should have got a lot better. But we just see the last 100 years have been just a complete disaster for human society, and people are significantly more unhappy day by day. And the moral standards, down, 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 down. What would be considered very wrong a short time ago, now they're just considered normal. And people think, just like a couple of days ago, around the world, they're having these sluts marches. Slut is an English pejorative term for a prostitute or a woman who is. You must have terms in your language. There are so many words for prostitute or loose women or like that. Tart and slut is a pretty bad one. So what happened was, in Canada, some police officer said to some woman that something like, well, you can, if you don't want to get raped, then don't dress like a slut, something like that. And then that somehow or other that became famous, and then they organized all over the world saying that, we'll dress as we like, and you just, don't rape us. Like that. So that's the idea. So they dress, the idea is that you dress in a manner that's intended to attract men sexually, and then when they rape you, or no, you're not even raped, just make some comments or something like that, and then you get all upset. you see, and talk about nasty men and all this kind of thing. But it actually makes sense that if you don't want to get sexually abused, you don't invite it. But, yeah, in the modern age, if you even suggest that there's that women and men have different roles, women should have a subordinate social role to men, then you're misogynist. Yeah, then you're a misogynist. You're a hater of women. If you in any way, if you think that there's something strange about women becoming soldiers, for instance, then there's something wrong with you. You hate women because you don't allow them to have the same function. So in all, it's such a strange... Yeah, I was going to say that. For women to walk around with, you know, practically naked, that's considered normal. I mean, the Croatian economy runs on that, right? The beaches. That's considered normal, that people just go around, and that men and women, the main purpose of their life is to cultivate sexual attraction toward each other. That's just considered normal. Whereas not such a long time ago, even in these countries, there was understood there's something intrinsically wrong with that. But what was, even there was some understanding of what is right and wrong, but that's gone now. And their whole society is a complete mess, but we still go on making the same mistakes. That marriage means, well, you like each other, so you get married. It's not that. There's so much. I mean, it's good if a husband and wife like each other, but that's not the only criterion. And like is, that means sexual attraction. So after some time you get fed up, well, we don't like each other, and then, okay, you know, finished. Don't need a marriage anymore. So very, very bad situation. In our society, we should try to assiduously, very deeply understand what is the education and culture of Vedic wisdom, separating, first of all, taking out from our consciousness or understanding that all the ideas that we have imbibed up to now are wrong. Let's start off with that. If we think that what we've learned through the education system and all these lies that they propagate in the name of equality, humanitarianism, equal rights, all the freedom of the individual, all these lies that they propagate, we should understand that these are philosophies generated by ignorant people who themselves are totally taken of the demoniac exploitive mentality. So it's a philosophy which is supposed to improve things. We cannot improve anything because it's based on the mistaken premise that we are not servants of Krishna. So any philosophy that comes out of that cannot but be faulty. This is the first thing we should understand. Even before we try to understand Krishna consciousness, we should first of all understand that everything we've learned up to now is all wrong. If we think it's good and it's right, we can't properly understand what is Krishna consciousness. Because it's on the Vedic culture and knowledge is on a completely different basis. It's Krishna-centered, not human-centered, or not even planet-centered, ecology-centered. It's based on a completely different understanding, and all other understandings, even the so-called religious ones, that are not on the basis of understanding that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and our purpose is to serve him, they are necessarily propagators of untruth, however much it may appear to be truth. So many confused people. Don't be confused. One thing, there are many things we can say about Srila Prabhupada. He was not confused. Nowadays some people think he was confused. He was not confused. Tattvadarshi, he's seer of the truth. He knows what is the truth. That truth is described in Bhagavad Gita, what is that? Gyam. Yesham nashitam aganaha. What is the first line of the verse? I always forget that. Gyam tu yad tadaganam. What is that? Yesham nashitam aganaha. Yesham. Tisham aditya vajjnanam prakashayati tatparam. What's the first line of that verse? I always forget the first line. Yesham aditya. Geyam yatcha tadagyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham aditya vajjnanam prakashayati tatparam. When one is enlightened by the knowledge which destroys ignorance, then one can see everything just as when the sun rises. All darkness is eliminated. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Adhika. Where there is Krishna, there's no Maya. Just like where there's the sun, there's no darkness. How shall we describe the sun? If we say the sun is glowing with the light of a million glowworms, is it a good analogy? No, even a trillion. Whoever, trillion wasn't a word in common usage until recently when the American debt ran into the trillions. Otherwise no one had ever heard of trillions before. Okay, the sun is glowing with the light of a trillion glowworms. Is it a good analogy? No. However many glowworms you bring cannot compare to the sun. So if you say there's this philosopher, that philosopher, read this, hear that, someone's opinion, someone else's opinion, at best they're glowworms. So if you put them all together, you say, I'm looking for the truth. Look, 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 go here, go there. They might have a little light. Little. But when the sun of knowledge of Krishna comes, then everything becomes clear. So let us put ourselves in the sunlight. Sunbathing. People are coming from Germany to go sunbathing on the Croatian beach. And we're so stupid, we're coming to Lika where there's no sun. It's always raining. No? Well, there is. Look, there's a little light there shining through the clouds. But we will bathe in the sunlight of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the light of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the sun, Purana Arka. It's the sun-like Purana. Krishna Swadhamo Bhagate Dharma Gyana Dibhisaha Kalon Nashta Drishamesha Purana Arka Dunoditaha. Krishna left this world and then knowledge and dharma, religiosity, left with him, went to his abode. But Krishna is still here in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives light in the darkness of this Kali Yuga. So instead of going to the beach and using our eyes to look at semi-naked bodies, we will come here and be enlightened through the ears with the sunlight of the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam given by the sun-like Acharya Srila Prabhupada. And by the mercy of the Krishna consciousness movement, then those legs of dharma can be restored. They can all be restored. It must be restored. There's no use actually to preach the Christian, Muslim, Hindu. There's no use. Just see, what are the principles of religion? If you're not following these, then doesn't matter, whatever ism you're in. Prabhupada says here, many isms and cults will spring up in Kali Yuga only to kill the spotless bull of religion. So all these isms, Christianism, Islamism, Hinduism, communism, atheism, humanitarianism, they're all meant just for killing the true spirit of surrender to Krishna. So let us bathe in the sunshine of Srila Prabhupada's pellucid instruction. That pellucid means clear and bright, and spread that light. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? No, no question. All right, Hare Krishna.